Blog Talk Radio.
I pledge you that we shall neither commit nor provoke aggression, that we shall neither flee nor invoke the threat of force, that we shall never negotiate out of fear, and we shall never fear to negotiate.
Scott Enstra Network.
August 4th, and I can't believe it's August. You know, up here in Idaho, it still gets cold at night, actually chilly. You got to put a sweater on. It's kind of strange, but that's northern Idaho. Tonight's going to be focused on baptism, being baptized. There's a lot of different things that go on within churches that are incorrect. And I'm going to be pointing out tonight that it's very crucial to do those things in order as God commanded them to do. And so by tonight, I think that you'll have a good picture on that and that you'll be willing to redo it if you haven't done it correctly. But before we do that, I wanted to, this is Scott on Scott Enstra Network, but our show that Julie and I do on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, Tinfoil Hat Club, that this coming Friday, we've got a lot of information on TI for targeted individuals, for satanic ritual abuse, a lot of stuff going on in August for rituals, glory hands, cutting of the hands off, sacrifices, all kinds. Now, on the website, on tinfoilhatclub.com, I made two postings on the homepage. One is a testimony from an individual who is, quote, a super soldier, a cyborg. And he's managed to come forth. He's given his testimony. And so I have that on the webpage. Now, Mike Spears, apparently, a couple weeks ago, lost his life. Now, if you know who he is, he's somebody that was SRA'd. He was brainwashed, Monarch, Black Projects, you name it. And he came forth and was trying to reveal as much information as possible, and now he's dead. It's funny how that works. So as far as the other one that has to do with cyborg video, you should watch that as soon as possible, because I cannot guarantee that that's going to be around. Now, I used a YouTube video pull-down, and I have that video. So if it ever gets lost, I'm going to make the attempt to repost it myself. But please go see that. Now, on Tinfoil Hat Club for next Monday, as I've been promoting, that for the Constitution Party, I've got Vice President J.R. Myers and running for vice president, and the main candidate for running for president for Scott Copeland, but it's J.R. Myers we're going to have on, and hopefully we can get Scott Copeland. Now, the reason that I'm bringing this up is that many of you are torn with, going voting for Trump. Trump is not even human. You need to understand we are in the end times. This is a world that is absolutely bizarre. We have clones, we have cyborgs, we have reptilians, we have, hybrids that have infiltrated every entity, every part, every nook and cranny of our government. And since these are not a creation of God, they are a corruption of Satan or Lucifer. And so you need to understand that this is no time to be voting for the lesser of two evils. There will be a time that you stand before the Most High God, and you will have to make accountability of your decisions. So we're giving you an alternative. So I suggest that you look into it. All right? So, again, on this coming Friday, just closing this out, We're also going to be discussing more of TI's electronic weaponry, chip implants, and those things that surround it. So that's going to be a really good one. Now, as I mentioned, that I've been elected for the Constitution Party as their chaplain for the Constitution Party of Idaho. And I take that as a very, very serious responsibility. And so I'm going to be doing what I can in my prayers and my standing in proxy, standing in the gap. I'm an older man now, and so I am an elder. And since God is a God of order and not a God of disorder, that those who are elders are to stand and anoint and to pray. And so that is what I'm going to do. And with that, I believe that there's going to be great headway. So again, please think of the alternatives when it comes to the president candidacies. Now, let me get into baptism here. Now, as far as I'm concerned, what has taken place is a great deception within the so-called mainstream churches. We're not shy about that. Julie and I have been very boisterous. We've made a lot of enemies of so-called brothers in Christ. You know, you need to understand the term brother and sister. Hey, brother. Hey, sister. That is a Masonic order. Okay, that comes from the Masonic lodges, which came out, birthed into the Christian community through the Baptist Church. Okay, the Baptist Church was formed out of Freemasonry. So you need to understand that a tree that is based in evil is not going to bear good fruit. So what has happened in the Baptist Church is that deliverance, miracles, moving of the Holy Spirit, and those things have been quenched. They have quenched the Holy Spirit. They have grieved the Holy Spirit. Now, as far as the other churches are concerned, which basically evolved from them as well, as we were pointed to, that the seminaries have nothing to do with the true teachings of the Bible. The churches today are not of Christ. I'm sorry. And if you're in that matrix, and if you believe that you're going to find something that is going to fulfill you, the fact that they do not do deliverance, the fact that they deny it, tells you that they are not the Church of Jesus Christ. Because in the Great Commission, we are told to do these things, and I'm going to get into that in a little bit here. Now, baptizo, or bapto, is in Greek, and those things of defining this basically meant that it was a bleaching of a garment and then dyeing. And then the only way that you can completely bleach something, the only way that you can completely dye a garment is full submersion, not sprinkling. Okay, so that's what this is basically about, is full immersion of an individual during baptism. Okay, now this is a cleansing of sins. Okay, this is a way of coming to be a new creature in Christ. Okay, so sprinkling is not going to cleanse. So you'll see this in Catholic churches. You'll see it in other denominations. This is the way it was when I was in the Lutheran church as a young boy, okay? And later, when I became a Christian or a bondservant of Jesus Christ, I myself need to get away from using the word Christian, because that term was coined by those who were under a religious rule, okay? When we read the apostles, the epistles, we find that they were bondservants of Jesus Christ. And as I mentioned, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So you'll find that the Christian church is nothing more than a bunch of liars and full of false converts. And I'm going to get into that too here. Okay? Now, the sprinkling came about too because if you submersed an infant, that's not a good thing, because they're, you know, you can teach a baby to swim. You can have them teach them to go underwater. You know, we've seen this. But if you just take a child and dunk them down, they're going to take a breath, and it's not going to end well for them, all right? So there was a concern about that, and it's one of the things that came out of it. But I say that it goes even deeper, because there's been a move to get away from the true baptism, the immersion, okay? And so anytime that I see that someone says, well, we don't need to do it that way, that this is good enough, or that baptism isn't even necessary, and so we don't do it in this church anymore, they're a liar. Get away from them, okay? Because you will be continually in bondage without it. Okay, I have, after all of these years, have finally come to a conclusion, especially after seeing some things recently, that there is a lot more to this story. Now, let me point out to you that there is a spirit realm that hates you. Okay, demons hate you. Fallen angels hate you. Okay, and so anything that keeps you out of relationship with God is what's going on here. See, these are deceptions, though they're small, okay? Let's say the old automobiles, okay? I can remember learning how to work on them in high school, and, you know, they were basic. You know, my father's old 66 Ford was a straight six, you know, and you could take a timing light, and you could work on it and adjust the carburetor. It was really easy, right? But if you got the timing off, it would chew up a lot of gas. It would eventually wear itself out because it was hard on itself, because it was working against itself. And so as a Christian or a individual that supposedly believes on to Christ, that when things are done out of order from the very beginning, you're out of time. Okay, God is a God of order, not a God of disorder. So when the church teaches things are out of order, you're going through life in bondage. You're going through life with a curse. You're going through life without the freedom that Christ had provided for us. Do you understand? You need a timing light. You need to get back on center, okay? Now, that starts with the proper baptism, okay? So what we see in the New Testament is that people would believe onto Christ and then be baptized, okay? Now, in Central South America, in those areas, there's been a big move to do that very thing. So they would open up the churches. The people would come in, and they would give themselves. Now, I'm not talking about an altar call. I'm not talking about making a profession intellectually that you believe into Christ. I'm talking about that there was an actual change in their spirit, where they believed and saw that they were sinners. They believed that they were filthy. They believed that they were sinners and that they were not able to be presented before the Most High God because of those things that were upon them from the fall of the garden and from the life that they led and the sins that were in their families and the curses. And so when they realized who they were, that before the Most High God, that they could not even come before Him, that it was through the blood of Jesus Christ that they were forgiven and that they were cleansed, that they were immediately brought into baptism. Do you understand? And then from there, and what they've been doing down there, is then out the back door, they had the demon tents, where they would start doing deliverance. And since the baptism took place, and that the curses were lifted and those things that were upon them, then the demons came out of them easily. They were immediately manifesting, and the demons were crying out, and they would take them into the demon tent and get rid of their demons. Are we doing that in the United States? No. Because they were all birthed out of Freemasonry, which is directly linked to Babylon. And every church in this country is part of that beast system, and you need to get it through your heads. You are in bondage, you are sick, you are asleep. Many among you are not making it. You're ready to put a bullet in your head because you're still under the curses that Christ took care of, but it's our willful act to step forward and move forth and do it in our hearts, and in it our spirit changes, and in it the Holy Spirit comes in, and through the washing of the blood of Jesus Christ, and we are made a new creature in Christ. And so again, God is a God of order, not a God of disorder. And when you are out of order, then you are not doing those things that are called. All right? So let me say this now. So anything other than full immersion, again, you need to understand that that's not what the scripture says. So if you are a bondservant, if you are a believer, and you and Jesus said, if you believe me, you'll keep my commandments, then therefore do it. So if you haven't done it, please find a church, go to a river, it's summertime, do whatever it takes, recommit, because the times are short, and this is the time to do it, okay? Now, should children be baptized? Well, no. Okay, why? Because it's a decision. While a child who is not of age yet, below the age of accountability, is under the direction and the accountability and the protection of the parents. So the parents should be baptized. So when a child then becomes of age and understands and can believe unto Christ. Now, we also know that there's a maturity that is a vast difference amongst children. There are adults that are still kids, whether it's arrested development through the fracturing of multiple personalities, whatever. See, that's the other thing, too. You can have an individual that a part of them believes in Christ, but not the other part. They're double-minded. You get where that comes from now. So we must bind up the brokenhearted. We must cast out the demons. Okay, and then they can make their decisions. So it's what we're called to do. So we can dedicate a child. We can speak into the spirit realm. We can go before the Most High God and say, Lord, I commit my child to you. That I, as an adult, as an elder, as the parent who believes unto Christ. See, these spoken words are incredibly powerful. I did it with my kids. I did it with my grandkids. I used to go up to a lake on Wednesday nights every night and war and pray and bind and break and kick ass on anything that was trying to hurt my family. I took the responsibility as a child of the Most High God, who was bought with the price of the blood of Jesus, who was not given the spirit of fear, but power and love and of sound mind, who stood against the wiles of the enemy, who took back what is stolen out of my family. And I made sure that my kids were not under the same curse. Okay? And the arrangement, the way it worked out for me, I was older. My kids were older who made their decisions. They had already given themselves to Christ. But I made sure that any generational curse that was upon me was broken. So they didn't have to deal with it. And that's the order of things. So when a child then becomes, or a young adult comes into that, then yes, that's when the baptism comes. Okay, they need to accept Jesus Christ themselves. Okay, again, if they're younger, then a dedication. Okay? So, again, the baptizing of children and so forth when you're sprinkling, here's the other thing. You can have a person that in the Catholic Church and all these other false religions that are then thinking, well, I was baptized, so I'm good to go. Do you get it? See, that was a lie perpetrated onto them for them to think they are covered, that they have fire insurance when they have not, and so they go through life and everything sucks for them. Everything's out of order. Those things of poverty and bad relationships and getting pregnant out of wedlock and all this other stuff that brings the generational curses. All right, now, I want to assure you that children, if they perish, if that was the other thing, the Baptist Church or the Catholic Church was trying the penance, pain, trying to force people into the religion, forcing them to give money, that they were saying if the children died, see, this was a way of making sure they went to heaven. No. See, when we look at 2 Samuel 12, 22 through 23, David and Bathsheba, okay, we need to understand that David, you need to remember what he did now, okay, he fornicated, he committed adultery, he conspired to commit murder, he had murder committed, He had Bathsheba's wife, husband killed. And Bathsheba became pregnant, so the child was conceived out of wedlock, and in itself was a curse under Deuteronomy 23 of the curse of the bastard. But in his repentance and in his crying out, that we need to remember that when the child died, because remember when she gave birth, the child was in distress and died. And so he mourned and he cried for the child. But as soon as the child was known to be dead, he gathered himself up. He stopped weeping. He stopped praying. And he stopped fasting because he knew that that child was in the arms of the Most High God. Do you understand? Now, the curse of the bastard can be broken through repentance. This is where the blessings and the curses come from. Do you understand that? We now, under the new covenant of Jesus Christ, but back then David wasn't under that. But as an elder, as an individual, as a man of God, he had the ability to repent. He was still the father of that child. He repented for the murder that he did. He repented for the conspiring. He repented for the fornication and the adultery. Do you understand? Anyone tells you that repentance is not necessary, get away from them. They are lying to you. They are going to put you in bondage that will take you straight to hell. And anyone thinks that they can't go to hell if they've professed it onto Christ, they are again mistaken, because the scriptures are full of that your name was erased from the Lamb's Book of Life. There will be many who will fall away in the last days. Read your Bible. Don't listen to the guy in the front. He's lying to you. Again, he's a capstone. He's an individual of a CEO of a corporation. That was not God's order. It was to be an eldership for checks and balances, to verify to one another, to search the scriptures daily, to test the spirit, to cast out demons, to heal the sick, to anoint them. None of that's being done. So stop going to these things. Figure out the time is short. Are you willing to bet your salvation, your life, eternity, and hell for this? Read your scriptures. All right? Now, in Matthew 18:10, okay, this is an indication of casting out demons. Matthew is just full of this, right? That if we have something that is sinful in us, that like if a limb is going to cause us to sin, then we get rid of it. Okay, the removing of things in our lives. So again, baptism is just that. We're submitting that those things that are upon us, we washed off of us. So it's very crucial. Okay. Now, again, getting back to David, okay, and referring also into Matthew for confirmation, that there, do not despise one of these little ones, okay? We need to remember that they're angels in heaven are going to be able to allow their face to witness upon God. Do you understand that? So what I'm saying when it comes to children, that if they die before the age of accountability, that they are not going to hell, okay? Now, one who is under the curse of the bastard, that's not broken off of when they become an adult after the age of accountability is where my concerns are. Do you understand that? Okay, again, curse of the bastard, Deuteronomy 23. And it reads, shall not inherit the kingdom of God to the tenth generation. To the tenth generation. That's huge. To the tenth generation. That's a lot of lives lost. Now, let's look at Paul. Paul was a serial murderer. He was a criminal in the fact that he was lawless in taking the lives of the innocent. He was judging, he was crucifying those who believed in Christ. His name was originally Saul. And we know that on the road to Damascus, his life changed, okay? But we also see that after he was baptized, he was then called Paul. So he became a new creature in Christ. See, he was refreshed, he was renewed, he was the new wine and new wineskins. He got rid of the old man. He saw that he was dirty, he saw that he was a horrible person. He repented. So through any other means that one tries to come into heaven, one tries to do the works, one tries to do this or that, that we need to know it's the order of things that we believe onto Christ and then we're baptized. That's the order of things. So if you haven't done that and the full immersion, please, ASAP, do it as soon as possible. All right? When we come to other countries that have revivals and the evangelism that takes place, again, I want to remind you that they come to Christ, they do the baptisms, and then they take them out to the demon tents, and they get their demons out. If we would do that here in America, Obama would not be in the White House. Those perverts that are in Congress, those Department of Homeland Security clones that are in the police departments and the sheriff's offices, the FEMA camps, these things that are here to destroy us would not be here. So you understand how important this all is. All right, Galatians 3:26 through 27. For you are all sons of God through the faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ, put on Christ. If that doesn't make the hair in the back of your neck stand up, I don't know what would. Baptism puts on Christ. How can I make it any plainer than that? Again, the Great Commission in Matthew 28:19, go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name and the Father and the Son of the Holy Ghost. Now, I want to point something out here, that in Acts 2:38, that it really says only in the name of Jesus Christ. So I have concerns that the Mormon Church, or not the Mormon, Catholic Church, because you need to remember when King James had given the commission to write the King James Bible, that all the scribes that he had, that as they were writing and verifying and doing their thing, that there were Jesuits who actually snuck into the castle and were found in the basement with barrels and barrels of TNT, explosives. They were going to kill all the scribes, and a guard who was making his rounds happened to stumble across them and stopped it. Now, that was an act of God. So there's been great attempts by the Catholic Church to alter and change. Well, it's just like we were talking about the 66 books. The Book of Enoch should be in there. So I have concerns about this. Now, I looked this up in the Geneva Bible, and it was written the same way. But we do see in Acts 2:38 that it's in the name of Jesus, not in the name of the Father and the Holy Ghost and the Son, okay? So it's just in the name of Jesus. So I know there's a great movement right now for baptizing in the name of Jesus, and I'm going to have to stick with that. Do you understand? Because no one comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. Okay? And so in the order of things, we believe onto him, Jesus, which brings us back into relationship. And so it makes sense to me that would be the order of things when it comes to baptism if we are to put on Christ, right? So, please. Okay, in that, in Acts, teaching them to observe all things, okay, the Great Commission, in 20, teaching them all things to observe all things, I commanded you. teaching then to observe all things I commanded you. I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. Casting out demons, healing the sick, making disciples of all men, preaching the gospel, casting out demons. And remember, this is after Jesus' resurrection. He came back to the apostles. See, that trumps all the garbage that these idiots in these churches teach you. I had some jerk down the road here tell me, but my God's bigger than that. Well, excuse me. Now that I know a little bit more about the occult, what God are you talking about? Because my God, Jesus, tells me to cast out demons. And by the way, that particular church had 4 suicides, including the pastor's niece. Ouch. All right. So again, belief, baptism, cast out demons. Galatians 3:27, we put on Christ. We are baptized to him. Okay? And in the word cleansing, 1 Peter 3:21, okay? So look those up when you get a chance. Now, by not doing that, obviously, then we're not closing doors. We're not getting rid of curses. We're allowing ourselves to be open to demons. Okay? Because we didn't get the sins washed away. So when you have sins, or you're sinful, or you're lawless, then you give demons legal right to you. All right? So you're not totally cleansed. So now you wonder why you're trying to walk with Christ and you're trying to do those things and things aren't going right. Plus you're under a Babylonian system that's got you in bondage. So those things that the church teaches, see, there's some churches that teach that you don't need to do baptism anymore. If you're in a church like that, get out of there. Well, you should get out of there anyways. Become a disciple of Jesus Christ yourself. We as believers are the church, not the four walls that want your money. I mean, some of these places, if you saw their expenditures and the salary of these guys, zowie, you know, I'd like to make money like that. Now, what really brought this forth was the understanding of a friend of mine, Rip, and we've talked about him, and as soon as there's a chance, I think he may be in India right now. But what he was observing when he would go to India, and he would do, you know, he would evangelize, and then he would immediately baptize them, that as soon as they came out of the water, full immersion, they would throw up. The demons, and that's very common during deliverance. You know, I've got buckets here in my office just in case. Now, when I say throw up, I don't mean, you know, from the stomach. I'm talking about bile that comes from the lungs. I don't think I've ever seen anybody bring anything out from their stomach. Well, I take that back. There were some prostitutes that came into the ministry down in Phoenix, and they would sit there and throw up. But I think because they weren't really truly giving themselves, and what happens is that the demons will make a person sick, so they give up. They'll cause pain. Okay? So when you come to Christ, you need to come as little children. You need to humble yourself so the demons can't deter you from making that spiritual choice of committing yourself, becoming a bondservant, crucifying the flesh, becoming that new creature in Christ. Big difference. So if this is taking place in other countries, why isn't that taking place even when they do full submersion here? And I've pondered that, and I want you to hear what I got to say. That tells me that the individual in that water with you is really not in Christ. They don't really have the Holy Spirit. They're another part of this great lying deception. Because if you truly are in the presence of a man and woman of God who have fully committed themselves, demons will come out just for being in the presence of them. Okay, the deliverance ministry that I came from was a very committed, very orderly. We prayed for each other. We did those things in order. We bound, we bind, we covered, we warred, we did those things. We read together, we prayed together, and the power was unbelievable. And we would simply walk in somewhere, and I told the story before that there were restaurants we would go into, and people eventually, you know, like on Sunday after service, and we would go there, and the manager of the place finally figured it out, and he would literally give us the back room. He didn't want us in the rest of the people. I would go into a store or a restaurant, and I would get all kinds of manifest, and I still do to this day. And the point of it is that when you're in the water with somebody who truly is godly, and they're truly in Christ, and their heart is in the right place, and they dunk you, I'll guarantee you the bad boy, the gatekeeper's coming out, baby. You're gonna demonstrate hydraulics, and that means you are being set free, and through that, you are brought to a new creature in Christ, just like Paul. And you know what? You may have in your spirit a name given to you that truly was what was intended for you and not the legal name of the binding that the United States has. Do you hear me? Okay? There may be a lot of Pauls out there that right now are Sauls. So why do churches not do this? That's the million-dollar question, and again, because they're under the Babylonian system. Okay, they deny deliverance, they're denying baptism, or they're doing baptism out of order, and the individual that's in that water with you, or whether you're being sprinkled, they are not in Christ. They are liars, they are deceivers, they are those wolves in sheep's clothing, because many of them have come from the seminaries, and they've been brainwashed, the spirits upon them as they were going through their teachings, that when they were listening and digesting those things that were spoke over them, they were cursed. So many of the pastors that shouldn't be in there in the first place, that's why we have a board of elders, ladies and gentlemen, please, that when you have an individual that we look up to as somebody that's supposed to be our leader, then we are already out of order, and when they speak over us, they speak curses. Because seminaries teach man's teachings. They teach doctrines of demons, which is all based in Zionism. Okay, we go back to the Jewish thing, okay? We need to understand that those things in the New Testament show that we are under a new covenant. We are no longer underneath the law. We are now the seed of Abraham. Okay, the Jews killed Jesus, for goodness sakes. They gave up their birthright. Do not give up your birthright. That's what these churches have been programming into you, and this is why you're not seeing the great miracles that should be there to set you free. Catholicism. Hopefully the picture came up on Blog Talk. I've noticed that I've been posting a lot of pictures, though they flash when the show's gone. And the last couple shows, ever since that incident that took place last Thursday, where the internet was down for Blog Talk, that I haven't been able to post any pictures. So I don't know if what I put in took or not. But the Catholic Church actually proclaimed that the aliens that were coming, that they were going to witness to them and baptize them in the name of the Catholic Church. Well, excuse me, they're not of God, and you're baptized in the Catholic Church anyways. And now what they're doing is they're saying, well, actually, they're an advancement, that we're actually of them, and they will be baptizing us. See how the Catholic Church works? So you need to remember, that's the synagogue of Satan, just like the Jews, because in reality, that's where it came from. And you know what's funny? Some of you still get offended by that, what I just said. And it took a while for me to get it out of my noggin because it was bad programming. But you know what? When I came to that realization and started studying and learning and reading the Bible, the New Testament, without the programming and those things that were spoke over me, it made sense. Book of Revelation is very clear. So just get ready. This is what this is all about. I'm trying to get you ready for the big fight. And, of course, this all goes back to the Babylonian system. And what is it all about? To keep you in bondage. As long as you're in bondage, you're not going to be able to submit yourself to God. You're not going to be able to come to Him through Jesus Christ. Now, we are fallen men of the garden. We carry, as men, that curse, even though Eve is the one who first gave herself, unfortunately, the seed of Satan. And, of course, the church will deny that, because the many of those who are in the church are reptilian. Many of them are the seed of Satan. Many of them are the ploy. They are part of that issue that's going to take place of the great fallen way, because many of you have believed onto men. Many of you believe these doctrines. And when you see that you've been believing a lie, there is going to be a great fallen away. Because you're the very nature, the very core, the very belief that you have been brought to, instead of believing onto Christ and as I said, Jesus plus nothing, you've actually based your faith in these doctrines. You've based your faith in the belief that we're to believe onto Israel, that we're to support them, when in reality they're a wicked nation that is part of the Illuminati, which is part of the Council on Foreign Relations, which is the basis of those things of Freemasonry that have infiltrated the United States, that have been using our military, that have taken over our government, and we are in bondage now in a matrix that is here to destroy us. And there is going to be a demonic door opened up that many of you are not going to be able to deal with it, because you're still full of demons. You still haven't committed yourself. You still believe into a system that takes you out of relationship with God. And no one comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. You need to be reborn. You need to be baptized. You need to have Christ upon you. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. What I bind in earth, I bind in the heavens. What I loose on earth, I loose in the heavens. What part of that do you not understand? I've had people tell me that I don't have the authority to send demons to the pit. I've either been given that authority or I have not. All authority has been given to Jesus, who lives in me. And he told the apostles, I give you all power to trample on scorpions and serpents. Do you understand? You need to take back what the enemy has stolen. No more. No more, ladies and gentlemen. It's time. You're sick. Many of you are asleep already, meaning you've died. There's people who have died, like Max Pierce. We've had, and I'm sorry, Julie, I remember the man that just died recently here, who was trying to tell us all about the taking out of the body and all the stuff they were doing. Look, they're doing everything they can. For instance, I told you that I submitted letters to the state of Idaho, to the sheriff of Kootenai County, to the police department, chief of police here, about psychotronics, about electronic warfare, radio wave technology, microwave, ELF, being used to make us sick, being used to brainwash us, to control us, to make us to do things that we would not normally do, to keep us from being who God intended us to be. I have yet to hear anything from anybody. Now, the old saying goes, no news is good news, but since I'm very familiar with borderline personality disorder, no news means all hell's going to break loose. That any moment the door is going to get kicked open. So I'm going to assure you, ladies and gentlemen, that I just rattled some cages, because I know that the sheriff here is a Mason. Anyone that's in office, like the governor, okay, they're only there because they've been put there. I don't care who it is. And the same thing with the chief of police happens to be one who came out of the city of Mesa, law enforcement, which I happen to know because I was raised in Tempe, lived in Mesa, and being familiar with the sheriff's office and those things that were involved with them, that they're an extremely corrupt organization, and the Mormon Church has their temple is there. Okay, so anybody that was a Mesa police officer was a Mason, was a Mormon. And so here you are. We have this whole area that's literally taken over. Now, 69 Bible verses tell us about the Holy Spirit and the fire, those things of being baptized, those things of having the Holy Spirit come onto us, especially in the book of Acts, and Matthew 3:11 especially. Now, in John 3:5, we're born of water and of the Spirit and entered the kingdom, and by not doing that is not entering the kingdom of God. So that's some pretty serious stuff. So I want you to understand that since the church is not doing this in order and not doing it or out of order, then you have to ask that if they're supposedly a representation of God and that they are supposedly in Christ, then why are they not doing things in order? And so that this is one more confirmation that you need to understand that these churches are not of Christ, that the whole thing is a Babylonian system. The seminaries, they come out of Albert Pike, okay, the Masons, the Ku Klux Klans, those things that are in place literally are here to keep us from being who God intended us to be. And that is to be warriors, soldiers, to take back what the enemy has stolen, to cast out demons, to preach the gospel, to make disciples of all men. We should be able to walk down a street and demons just literally cry out. And if you don't think you have that, you need to understand that you were brainwashed to stand down. They, just like any those things of communism, what is communism about? To make us all the same. To put us in bondage that no one's better than anyone else. No. Look, we are a body of Christ. Some are evangelists, some are teachers, some are prophets, okay? And in this separation, we are given gifts. And in those gifts, much is given, much is expected. And if I wasn't given the gift, if I wasn't given the will to do those things, I wouldn't be casting out demons. I wouldn't be healing the sick. Do you understand? I wouldn't be teaching. But since there's such an implosion in the church that hardly anybody's doing anything, that burden is on the shoulders of many, or I should say few. And so many of us are doing double duty. Many of us are doing triple duty, quadruple. We're teaching, we're evangelizing, we're casting out demons, we're healing the sick. We're doing those things that other people are not doing that have been called. Now, when you're called to a purpose. Now, let's look at things. Let's look at the apostles, okay? Who was Luke? Well, he was a doctor. So if he was a doctor, then he knew about using medicines that were derived from herbs and spices and different, and probably even knew some witchcraft and had to be cleansed of that. But the point of it is that he was chosen specifically for who he was. Okay? Now, Peter, an interesting individual, he was kind of, you know, we know of him as being the one on Gilligan's Island, you know, but look who he became. He finally got it. He denied Christ, but then he finally figured out there's only one way out of here. And he was so humble that he would not allow himself to be executed, to be crucified upward. So the apostles were beheaded. They were disemboweled. They were set on fire. They were at the cross. Holy smokes. And you think that you're getting out of here? Look, the only one who survived was John the Revelator. And they tried to boil him in oil. And he crawled out. And when he stood there unscathed, even the Roman soldiers went on their face and believed onto Jesus. And then went on to write the book of Revelation. Now, as I've mentioned before, that he was the only one that stood at the base of the cross when Christ was being crucified. He was there with both Marys, Christ's mother and the prostitute Mary, ex-prostitute. And Jesus asked him to make sure that his mother was taken care of. And he took that responsibility, and I believe that it was because of his boldness and his willingness to continue those things, even at the base of the cross, watching his Lord and Savior, knowing he was next, that made him the man to be chosen to write the book of Revelation. Now, the rest stood fast later and continued on their works. And then we also know that there were 70 that were sent out. And since the Christians, no matter what they did to try and eliminate them, they kept multiplying, they kept growing. So something was going on there. Well, I can guarantee you that the hand of God was upon them. So by going through baptism, after believing unto Christ, and then getting the curses broke off and the demons cast out, those powers, the dunamis, the Holy Spirit, because remember, Jesus had to go so another comes in his place, that in that, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, there are those gifts. But since many of you operate in doubt, you have lack of faith. See, the opposite of faith is fear. And many of you operate in fear. And so this is one of the reasons why the Holy Spirit hasn't come upon you yet. Now God is an incredible love of us. He wishes none should perish. So there's going to be divine interventions. There's going to be things take place that show that God is there. Okay? But just think how much more if we had a true congregation full of those who truly believe unto Christ, and since they love him, they keep his commandments, who have been immersed, baptized, gotten their sins cleansed and washed away, went through deliverance, got the curses broke off, and the demons cast out, just think how powerful they would be. Just one church, let's say 100 people, who would get on their face, and cry out to the Most High God to intervene, to stand in proxy, to pray, to go before the courts of the heaven. Do you understand how powerful that would be? Now you understand why Satan did what he did, Lucifer, okay? That he corrupted the churches. He brought the seminaries in to keep those so-called men of God that you call pastors to not truly teach the word, to make sure that you're in bondage, to make sure that you're not the weapon against Lucifer. Because the one that stands in the way of him succeeding is you and me. And we're told by Jesus in the Great Commission to continue those things until he returns. And so if you're not warring, if you're not praying, if you're not casting out demons, then you have to ask yourself, why not? What happened? Why am I still sick? Why am I still in bondage? Why do I have trouble believing? How come I can't believe in myself? Many of you don't believe in yourself. Many of you don't understand how loved and adored you are in Christ. God sees you as a jewel in his eye. And some of you have sold your birthright that you put the Jews before you. Now, by doing that, you need to understand that you've then denied what Christ did for you. And by denying Christ, that's a curse. You know, I mentioned about taking communion out of order. That's a curse directly from God. We see that in Corinthians. And so many of you are under that curse because you've gone to these churches. You know, you had your argument with the wife in the parking lot. You were on the internet looking at pornography the night before. You got rushed in, you sat down, they brought communion in front of you, and you took it out of order. You didn't repent. You didn't get on your face. You didn't get into the Spirit and say, Lord, you know what? I'm sorry for what I just did. But what you did is you went ahead and you took communion, and you took it improperly. You took it in a way that defiled what Christ did. Breaking of the bread and drinking of the wine as a representation of the blood and the body, of what he was to do on the cross. You made it dirty. You defiled it. And now you're cursed. Can we repent? Yes. Can we be brought back up? Yes. But I'm telling you now that what the Babylonian system, which comes from the Talmud, which comes all the way back through the doctrine of demons, that what the order of things in the church today is so out of order that they have set you up for a fall. You know, there have been snipers. Let me tell you the story of three in a match. I don't know whether you know it or not. During World War II, one of the biggest threats to soldiers on both sides was a sniper. And at nighttime, see what they used to do for the troops, in their rations? They would put a pack of cigarettes in the rations, and it was Lucky Strike cigarettes. Now, matches were kind of hard to come by. You can imagine, because they were there in the rain, and you know we didn't have the technology like we have now. And so when they lit a match to smoke a cigarette, they would light several cigarettes, because one match was really worth something, right? Well, unfortunately, if it was dusk or nighttime, that when you lit a match and there was a sniper, boom, there's that light. Okay, you lit the first cigarette. Now the sniper took aim on the second cigarette. So by the time you let the third cigarette, the third man, boom, he was the one who got hit with the round. Bad luck to be the third on a match. So I'm telling you that Satan has set us up, that in these end times, we are the third one on a match. This is no time to be stupid. This is no time to be ignorant. This is no time to be running with doctrines. Now, last night's show, Every Wind of Doctrine, Jesus is here, Jesus is there. We're told not to do that. He's not in the deserts. He's coming back. And so if it's Jesus plus nothing, then it's Christ is not in it. I can assure you. All right. I'm only going to go an hour tonight. I want you to understand that God loves you. He wishes none should perish. He brought his son. And he has an order of things. And so the church has not been doing the Great Commission. The church has not been doing baptism correctly. And the only reason that anybody would do something out of order is because they are not of God. Because the Holy Spirit speaks to all of us. He's provided a way out. He tells us that. And if he speaks to you and you don't go along with it, you don't receive it, and it happens again and again, he'll eventually stop talking to you. People, if you're in sin, God's not going to hear your prayers. You need to repent. You need to ask for forgiveness. You need to renounce. And let me tell you what, when I went through deliverance, I ran to it. I studied. I warred. I broke. I confessed. I renounced. And here I am 16 years later. I'm just telling you, the decision's in front of you. God loves you. Jesus died for you. Figure it out. All right, we're done here. God bless everyone. Good night.